Let's pray. We look to you, Jesus. As always, we ask that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. You and I, we live in a noisy world. And we're so used to it, we don't even think it's strange. But just consider how much things have changed, say, like in the last century, before there was a phone, before there was radio, TV, the internet, and so on, most of the conveniences we have. We live in a totally different world. And just to emphasize the point, let me bore you with a few statistics. According to the 2025 U.S. Media Consumption Report, 56% of Americans watch 3 or more hours of TV every day. Actually, that's down from before. 42% listen to stream music every day. 31% listen to the radio every day. And 30% spend 3 hours or more a day on social media. Now, of course, the person doesn't do all those things, but still, that's a lot of noise, isn't it? Let's narrow our focus to just texting. According to a February 17, 2004 article, Testing Statistics 2024, the average person sends 13 texts a day. That's not so bad. The average teen sends 10 texts per hour and up to 100 a day. On average, people tend to read and respond to a text within the first 5 minutes, 95% of the time. Once again, a lot of noise, a lot of people talking at you or talking with you. Then add to that all the noise at work, human and otherwise, all the noise from the family, human and otherwise, the noise of the city, so on, so on, and so on. Even in the church as a whole, there is a lot of noise. In the old days, you listened to your pastor once or twice on Sunday, then you chewed on that for the rest of the week. Now you listen to your pastor, you tune in several podcasts, maybe a couple a week, maybe a couple a day. You watch your favorite Christian teachers on TV. You listen to the radio host as they talk to you in between the songs, which talk to you as well. Now, I'm not saying, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that any of that or all of that is wrong. I'm just saying there's a lot of noise. A lot of noise. So the million-dollar question then is this. Does all the noise, including all the Christian noise, does it sometimes drown out God's voice? I think it sometimes does. So let's talk about the spiritual discipline of silence and or solitude, the discipline of coming away from all the noise, at least in spirit, and reconnecting with God. The fact is, God often calls us to be still or to come away. Sometimes he calls us as individuals, sometimes he calls us as a family, sometimes as a church, even sometimes as a nation. In Mark 6, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out on a mission trip, if you will, to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. When they returned, they told Jesus all that they had done in his name. And then in Mark 31, Jesus said to them, "Come away. Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." He called the 12 disciples to come away with him to a desolate place to rest and to escape both the excitement of their mission trip, to come away from that excitement, and also to escape to come away from the busyness of the crowd. I would guess they probably needed to slow down and rejuvenate in body and spirit. Probably they needed to process all that had happened on their mission trip. probably they need to recenter themselves and focus again squarely on Jesus. The text doesn't say, so I'm speculating, of course. But the point is this: Jesus called his disciples to come away to rest, to slow down, to just be with him. Do we ever need to do the same? Now look at Psalm 46. The psalmist in this one speaks about perilous times. He's talking about when a nation is being disciplined by God, as the Jewish people were about to be disciplined, but he's also talking about the end times themselves, when the whole world will be judged. And he talks about times that are so horrific that the mountains will fall into the sea, waters will roar and foam, the oceans will be out of control, and kingdoms will totter. Very, very severe times. He declares in 46:1 that even in the midst of all that, God is still what? Our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He then calls on people, verse 8, to come and behold the works of the Lord. Look at how he's working, how he's moving among the nations. Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations to the earth, how he has begun to judge. And then the verse that we've already read, the verse that everyone quotes, verse 10, be still and know. In such a time as that, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So God calls his people to come away, at least in a spiritual sense, from what? All the turmoil. All the turmoil that spins around us, especially when things seem as if they're out of control. Once again, do we ever need to do this? Indeed, when you think about it, this coming away, this coming apart, is part of the very fabric of the human routine that God established for us. Every day, typically at night, what do? We sleep. Not all living creatures do. And most certainly God doesn't need to take a nap. But we do. We need to sleep. Do you ever think of what life would be like if we never slept? You're having a horrible day. You don't sleep, so what happens? It just spills into the next day. And perhaps into the day after that. There's no new day, no fresh start. The bad day just goes on and on until finally it quits, whenever that is. And I also think if we didn't sleep, we would never truly slow down. Not totally. There's always something to do. Always something that needs to be done. But instead, God calls us to sleep. The psalmist said in Psalm 127:2, it is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Now, he's talking about worry. He's talking about those who go to bed, they lay their head on the pillow, and they can't walk away from the rest of what happened during the day. So they're anxious, their mind is churning, and they just can't let things go. And the psalmist is saying, no, God gives you sleep. Leave those things with God. He gives you rest. So technically he's talking about worrying, but what would it be like again if he never called us to sleep? He gives to his beloved, you and me, his children, sleep, the gift of sleeping. Not just that, but also the Sabbath. He calls us to set aside one day every week above the others, where we come away from our daily routine and recuperate, rest, and be with the Lord. Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 14, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Once every week, what are we supposed to do? To come away from our busy routine, from the noise, to rest, to be still, and yes, to reconnect with God. And this is terribly important, much more important than we think. A good military commander who is engaged in a prolonged conflict understands it's important when the troops are fighting on the front line that you need to rotate them in and out. And if you don't rotate the troops out who are on the front line, they will almost for certainly become shell-shocked. You keep a soldier on the front lines where the battle is raging for too long, he becomes listless, depressed, and so on. Life is our battlefield. We are at war with unseen enemies. And if we don't rotate from the front lines now and then, if we don't come away from the battle, then we too become listless and depressed. So when God calls us and commands us to come away from the noise, to rest and be still, he is doing so to protect us. He's doing it to protect us. And because he loves us and just wants to spend time with us. In the Song of Songs, the king speaks tenderly to his bride. He says to her, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away." Chapter 2, verse 10. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Come away and be with me. Of course, this is also representative of Christ with his bride. And so he says to his bride, to you and me, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Come away and be with me." Part of why God calls us to come away from all the noise is so that we can just be with him. And isn't it funny how often we think that God doesn't long passionately to spend time with us? Husbands and wives, when they are separated, long to be reunited again. Parents, when their grown children move away, we look forward to the day when we can go visit them or they can visit us. Good friends, when they are separated by time and circumstances, when they see each other, they rejoice at seeing each other again. Why would we think that God doesn't feel the same about you and me? Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Spend some time with me. I miss you. Do you see why it's important to be still and to come away from all the noise? So then, how do we do it? How do we be still or come away from the noise? If we cannot physically distance ourselves from all the noise, then we come away in our spirit. We calm our spirit, and we do this by faith. Look again at Psalm 46, the verse that everyone quotes, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Remember, he said this in the context of mountains falling into the sea, of the oceans raging, the seas raging, of nations falling, tottering and falling. How can we be still in the midst of that? We can because of what he already said. Verse 1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When our world is being turned upside down, we can still be calm because God is our refuge and our strength. The word "be still" in verse 10, it can also be translated as "let go," as in letting go of wanting to control everything that pertains to us. Or it can be translated as stop, as in stop worrying about the things that are in God's hands. Or it can be translated as relax, as in relax, and trust the one who loves you more than words. So consider Job. He lost all his livestock, his servants, his children, and his health. But what did he do? Job 1:20 and 21, he worshiped the Lord by faith. He arose, he tore his robe, shaved his head. In other words, he grieved. He was in pain and he grieved. But he also fell on the ground and worshiped. And then he said, "Naked I came from the mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When everything is taken from us except for our very breath, do we listen to all the noise in our head? Or do we also listen to the Lord and worship Him? And note, Job still grieved. He said these words as he was feeling horrible anguish and he hurt, he was in pain. And he wondered why this was happening and why God was allowing him to go through what he was going through. And yet, in the midst of all that, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's faith. That's faith. How do you and I quiet our hearts when our whole world's up for grabs? By reminding ourselves that God is in control. He knows what He's doing. And He's working all things out for good. Here's an old comic from Peanuts. You may or may not be able to read it. I'm not sure. Lucy and Linus, though, in any event, are looking out the window as the rain is pouring down. And then Lucy says to Linus, "Boy, look at that rain. What if it floods the whole earth?" Linus then says, "It will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that would never happen again, and the sign of that promise was the rainbow." Lucy says, "You have taken a load off my mind." And then Linus says, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." Or we might say, the truth. That's all sound theology is, the truth. The truth has a way of doing that. We live in strange times. But come what may, God is in control. He knows what He's doing, and He's working all things out according to His good plan. That's sound theology, the truth. We come away from the noise by trusting in Christ. When my world is up for grab, I often picture Jesus during the storm in Mark 4:35 through 41. They're out on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples and Jesus. And as the disciples frantically fought to keep their boat from sinking, we're told that Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Picture what's happening. The waves are buffeting the boat. The wind is probably whipping. The waves are splashing, it's driving up spray. Some of those waves, some of that spray that's being splashed is falling on Jesus. Probably there's thunder and lightning. Maybe the disciples are shouting at each other above the storm or shouting at the storm itself. And Jesus is so calm and collected, he's asleep. He sleeps through it all. The disciples are afraid they might die, and Jesus is sleeping. He's so at peace, he's sleeping. When the storms rage in my life, I picture Jesus calmly sleeping. He's so calm and collected, it's not bothering him. He's not going, "Oh, what are we going to do?" He's not pacing back and forth, he's just sleeping. Then mentally, I lie down in the boat next to him and take a nap with him. If he's not uptight, I guess I don't need to be either. Of course, there are times when we do need to literally and physically withdraw from the noise. What did Jesus do? Luke 5:16, he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would do this. It wasn't a once and done, a one-time thing. He would do this. This was a common practice. He often withdrew, some of the versions translated, he often withdrew to desolate places and prayed. When you read the Gospels, you see Jesus always doing this, by himself, with his disciples, or with just Peter, James, and John. Always. Think of how busy Jesus was, and the important work he was doing. He was teaching about the kingdom of God, healing people, casting out their demons. Even so, he often withdrew to quiet places. He never said, you know, I can't get away, I'm too busy. He never said, the work I am doing is too important, I can't get away. I guess then maybe you and I need to do the same thing, to withdraw to a quiet place more than we do, even when we feel we simply cannot do so. Do you struggle with this? I do, at times. If I take an hour or two off and just sit and think, chat with God off and on, it feels so unproductive. We're supposed to get things done, and I'm just hanging out with God, thinking and chatting with him. And it's kind of funny that I feel that way. When Mom was alive and I went to visit her, we typically spent the afternoon working on our respective crossword puzzles. I had one and she had one. We're sitting in our own chairs working on our crossword puzzles. And part of the time, mostly we're just working on our puzzle, but maybe every once in a while we might go, hey, what's a seven-letter word for this or that? And sometimes as we're working on our crossword puzzle, we pause to talk about so-and-so or this or that that happened in the community or with the family. And then as we're working on the crossword puzzle, almost always in the middle of the afternoon, we fall asleep for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. We just hung out. And never once did I feel like that was unproductive time. But when I just hang out with God for an hour or two, I often do. Isn't that funny? Can you relate? If you can, chew on that for a while today. Think about that. Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place, so should we. And sometimes this means disciplining ourselves. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves and make this a part of our routine. And be prepared to fight for that time, because life, as you know, will crowd it out. And remember, we have an enemy who hates for us to slow down and hang out with Jesus. And so he does everything he can to encourage us to overbook our schedules. And it's so easy to do, isn't it, in this crazy world? Maybe you can relate to this comic. This is from the Baby Blues comic. Darrow and Wanda are watching TV with their children, Zoe, Hammy, and Wren. And as you can see, because their three kids are rather rambunctious, to say the least, Darrow and Wanda are not especially enjoying the show. And Darrow says to Wanda, I miss movie theaters. That's neither here nor there. But for some of you today, this Baby Blues comic is a picture of your life. You have popcorn, so to speak, in your hair, or another child, so to speak, their foot up, almost up your nose. Only for you, it's all the demands at work. It's all the demands of the family. It's all the commitments you've made with the church and the community and so on and so forth. You have so much going on. You feel like your life is a zoo. And you'd love to get away, but you know you can't. Too much stuff to do, too little time to do it. We all need to discipline ourselves to withdraw to a quiet place. But if that's your life, you especially need to do it. You especially need to do it. And frankly, if you don't, you will become a casualty. You'll become listless and depressed. Discipline yourself to get away to a quiet place and reconnect with God. I am firmly convinced that at times the most profound thing God ever says to us is, shh, shh. As in when our minds race, he says to us, Matthew 6:33, he says, shh, shh. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Or when we are afraid, he says to us, shh, shh. Why are you so afraid? Mark 4:40. Have you still no faith? Don't you trust me? Or when we are overwhelmed by the heaviness of life, he says to us, shh, shh. Hebrews 13:6, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm here, I'm helping you. You don't have to carry this alone. And even when life is going great guns, even when we are clicking on all cylinders and we are doing marvelous things, he still says to us, just like he said to the disciples, shh, shh. Matthew 6:31, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. Once again, Psalm 46:10, be still, or shh, shh. Be still and know that I am God. There's so much noise. So much noise. Wanda Brown's husband took it upon himself to teach their daughter how to drive. And when he began the first in the car lesson, he asked his daughter, okay, so when you get into the car, what's the first thing you should do? And of course, put your seatbelt on. Without a moment's hesitation, she replied in complete earnestness, turn on the radio. I laughed, just like you did. But how many times do we drive in our car with our radio on? And how many times are we just like unable to drive without it on? When I drive past the college students, and I see so many of the college kids, the college students, they don't know how to walk without looking at their phones. Even when they're crossing the crosswalk, they're looking at their phones, and I go, really? And then I remember how when the commercial comes on during TV, I gotta check my phone. So much noise. So much noise. Need I go on? And what does the Lord say? He says, shh, shh, shh. Come away. Come away to a quiet place. Let's pray. Lord, you say to us, shh, come away. Come away with me to a quiet place. And we hear you, Lord. So even now we are quieting our hearts. We are breathing again. Our souls relax at your calling. Fill us with your peace. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Shh, you say. And we say, thanks. Thanks. In your name, amen.
Please rise as you are able and join in singing our next hymn.
Jesus, fill us with your peace. Quiet our hearts. It's so hard sometimes for us to mentally turn off the thoughts that are running in our head, the noise that's in our head. And you say to us, shh, just chill. Help us to chill right now. Sometimes it's the worry and the fear. Sometimes it's just the busyness, knowing that we've got to get this done and that done and this done. Quiet our hearts right now. And Lord, may we be islands of peace in this very crazy world. So many people running around like chickens with their head cut off. Lord, may we be calm, even amidst the storm. So many people worried and afraid about what is going to happen in our future, and I get it. But you are a refuge and our strength. You've got this. Come what may, you've got it. So many people who are angry at each other and spit all kinds of hate at each other. We don't need to fall into that trap. We're filled with your Spirit. Send us out now, Lord, in your peace, with your peace, to be your peace. Send us out into the world that desperately needs peace. And how we praise you, how we praise you for the peace that you do give us. It's a God thing, it really is. And we praise you for it. And as always, we pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. From him, through him, to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.